and welcome to this very interesting interview with sales veteran Matt LeBeau. Now, I've known Matt for a while. He's a friend and a past client, and Matt's business is, let me put it this way, he has people stretched all the way across Canada from coast to coast. Now, many of you are listening to this are from Canada, and you know how big Canada is, and many of you are from Australia, and you also realize, I mean, they're about the same size country, so it's a big space. And, you know, I guess it doesn't really matter whether you've got people from coast to coast or you've got them, you know, 10 kilometers away. Sometimes just not having people physically present in the office or where everyone else is working, you know, presents some challenges. So we dive into that. We dive into how does he hire people? How does he communicate? How does he plan? How does he involve people in the planning? How does he train? How does he hold people accountable? And right down to, you know, what's the technology and tools he's using to manage this? So it's a great interview. And Matt is a guy who I think is, I mean, I don't say this lightly, but he's one of the more astute leaders that I've known and worked with. And I say that because he has a very good perspective. He has a very assertive way by which he runs his team. And you'll get a sense from that in the interview. And Matt's had a wealth of experience from starting out on the farm and stacking grocery shelves right through to working with a national distributor who was growing at hundreds of percent year over year. So, you know, he's had some very diverse experience there. So the things that he's using right now are working in his business. So we can feel pretty confident that they may work for us also. And look, it's a great interview. I hope you enjoy it. And please leave your comments or questions on the blog below. And I will mention my voice is a little hoarse in the interview. I just returned from a conference and was doing this interview the very next morning, first thing. And I know what you're thinking. I probably wasn't behaving myself on the conference, and that may or may not be true. I'm not going to make excuses. Just want you to understand why I sound a little funny. Anyway, enjoy the interview and look forward to seeing your comments. Well, I've got Matt LeBeau on the line today. Matt, how are you doing?
Hey, Jamie. It's great to be here. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak on what I do for a day, and I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to diving into some of these questions. You know, we've known each other for a while, and I've had the chance to sort of experience your business and what you do there. But maybe just for the benefit, before we get into the questions, for the benefit of those listening, maybe just give us a bit of context about your company and what you guys do.
Sure. So we are a sales and trade marketing agency. In simple terms, we are a bolt-on sales department for a company that might not have their own or isn't quite large enough to have a sales force across Canada's broad landscape. And so we manage about 20 different sales, you know, businesses through our department. And we specifically focus on natural organic foods and supplements to the Canadian retail trade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And look, how did you get into that, Matt? What was the leading, you know, the sort of path that led you down that road?
Well, my background is been in food for a very long time, from, you know, a family farm, and then packing groceries at a grocery store at the front end till, to produce department, and a variety of jobs throughout there. And then I actually got into the supply chain of the grocery group I was working with, and came across some of these suppliers in the late 80s, early 90s of natural products, which was just really emerging. And the grocery chain I was working for, Zaire's Markets, closed their regional office, and I was faced with the decision to either move to downtown Toronto, which is an hour and a half drive each way for me, or look for a job more regionally. And I came across a company that was selling natural organic foods and was looking to move into grocery, and so I had some expertise on this area. And I spent 12 years with them, eventually bought into the company. My role with them for the last 6 years was vice president sales and marketing. And that was a time where we were growing at hundreds of percent year over year. It was an absolutely wild ride, and probably a university degree in a live setting. So it was a lot of fun. And from there, I've kind of found a passion for these products and what they can do for people health-wise and lifestyle changes, and has changed my lifestyle drastically and my family, and have not wanted to leave. So the current company is about 6 years old and is just a continuation of me wanting to stay in this sector and knowing that my strength is sales. So focusing specifically on that, and having seen in my previous time a lot of people struggle with this, especially small to medium-sized enterprises that just can't afford either high-quality salespeople or just the broad base of salespeople you need to be able to reach the geography of Canada. So we're like a shared resource in many ways.
Mm. Well, that's you've been involved in all aspects of the supply chain. I didn't realize that. That's awesome. And I think a lot of people, certainly I didn't know for the longest time, understand that all these products had to be represented to get on shelf. And I think a lot of people don't appreciate the amount of effort that, a manufacturer needs to go to get their product in store. So you guys certainly do a great service there.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's, go on there.
I was just going to say that, I learned early on that nothing happens by accident, and that certainly applies to products going to market. And in this day and age where multinationals control such a large percentage of the consumer packaged goods in the world, I'm sure there's not much variance, on brands from Australia to Canada in many ways because of the companies that own behind them. It's nice to support small entrepreneurs trying to do something different.
Yeah, and I guess just to give us some more context there, like you say, a lot of this is this industry is controlled by the multinationals. So, I mean, you guys are not a big player in the market, and from what I understand, the brands you represent are not the biggest brands either. So how hard is it for you guys to get shelf space and get stocked in the stores? Is that a battle, or do you guys find that you come with you've got a unique space there?
It is becoming more of a battle, but it has been unique in many ways. I'd say the number one issue we run across is small entrepreneurs don't understand the hurdles around consumer packaged goods. So they might not have a UPC that scans properly, or their products aren't listed into the global database, or, simple things like case dimensions, unit dimensions aren't properly documented, or just the wrong case pack size. So we can provide a lot of expertise on this front quite easily, because we have a background, I have a background in this stuff. So it's quite advantageous, I guess, from our partner's perspective. What they bring to the table is really a lot of passion and product expertise. Most people I have found in the natural products health industry are here because they're passionate about their products and helping people. So my skills of, knowing the market and how to get to market, and their skills of having these great products that are authentic and consumers recognize the difference between multinational products and authentic, homegrown products in many ways.
Right.
So it's made our job easy from that perspective. So they give us a great story to sell.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that makes sense. Well, let's shift gears. We're here. We're going to talk about managing remote teams. And, as I mentioned to you before we started the call, originally I was thinking just let's focus on the sales aspect. But really, I mean, you have people, you have management outside your, immediate geographical area as well. So we'll sort of cover a range here. But, maybe the first question I'll start with, Matt, given your expertise and history there, is there a significant difference in managing a remote team? And maybe we should also give people the context of where your people are so they can understand. But, is there a big difference between running a remote team versus running a central team, like one that's all in the same geographical location? That might seem like an obvious question, but, I'm keen to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, the number one issue becomes communication and getting the tools to the people in the field. So I guess being from Canada and having, you know, really only 32 million people in a landmass, the second largest country in the world, we've probably just grown up becoming used to that as a standard practice versus maybe our American cousins. But the reality is it boils down to communication. And yes, in my previous roles where we've had, you know, an inside sales team, with a dozen people, a couple dozen people, you can meet in person and deal with issues live time face to face. And that's a real advantage from a communication perspective. So to deal with an outside sales team and sales management team, you need to have set regular intervals around when you're going to communicate. Otherwise, my experience is it just, you know, won't happen. You have to plan for it. You also need to make sure the tools that might be at your fingertips in a scenario where everybody's together and everything, all the resources can be pooled, you have to create a good, you know, downloadable database of, you know, our sell sheets and our product specs and presentations, electronic presentations, as well as be prepared to spend the time and energy to shipping live samples to your people, you know, right away as they need them lifetime. It's an area that you really can't spare any expense in, because without those tools, the people don't have anything to sell. Mm. So that's definitely an inherent cost to the business, I guess, is the cost of using, you know, UPS or Canada Post to get things to my people.
So can I just dive into the communication part there for a second? And
sure.
Might get a bit specific, but how do you, what sort of tools do you guys use? I mean, the communication's obviously changed a lot in recent years with technology, but what are the main tools that you guys are using to stay on the same page?
So, I mean, it's the basic things like email, but then we have used a variety of tools, some purchased. So as an example, we're using Salesforce.com as our main, it's not an ERP, but for us, it represents an ERP. It's a CRM system that we've modified to some degree. So my salespeople obviously enter in every sales call and details by brand so that we can see what's happening live in the field on a daily or weekly basis as we need to, and then also supply that information to our suppliers as they need it. And then we also use it as a sales database where we take our supplier sales and dump it into Salesforce so my salespeople can run reports and get the intelligence they need to be able to, understand their clients better, their retail clients.
So can I jump back to something you said there, because I want to dive into this. And I know a little bit of the story, but I think it's worth talking about. You mentioned your salespeople enter every sales call in there with the details of brands. How do you get them to do that? Like, is that a struggle or is that easy? Because we all know that salespeople are not the most natural people to want to enter lots of data and be process driven.
Right.
So what's that been like
for
you?
It has been a struggle. I think we're 24 months in, maybe not quite that far, but it's definitely been an evolution, because it wasn't what we were doing before, and we had to induce change and drastic, you know, kind of 360 degree change. And it's taken repetition, it's taken understanding, it's taken some tough discussions, and frankly, in certain cases, it's even required some turnover. Mm. It's just the nature of change as a whole. And you know, as new people come on, I find there's no issues for them because they don't know any differently. But it's really been the people that were with us previously to this IT change that, you know, have struggled or continue to struggle, not drastically, but, you know, you can certainly see the people that are soaring with it and people that are trudging through it on a day-to-day. And then just constant encouragement and leading by example. You've got to use it and be able to say, hey, you know when they've been on. It's definitely setting the goals and objectives of how to use the system, and then tracking the goals and their progress and holding them accountable to those you know, different than any other, you know, and obviously our number one goal is sales dollars for our vendors, but this just becomes another goal on the objectives list. And you know, what I learned from you actually in our time together was, you know, drilling that down to more of a quarterly chunk versus annually. And that has really helped, because annually it seems like such a big goal, and without tracked progress, it's tough. And then we get stuck in our day to day. And you know, oftentimes reporting on progress is not, you know, it kind of falls by the wayside. So the quarterly goal piece has helped us quite a bit. And then also showing them the upside, right? You have to, you know, have to get people to buy in. They've got to believe. So showing them the intelligence that it provides them from, you know, running your reports, learning about your clients, what you can learn from the sales reporting itself, as well as why is it important to our suppliers. We have heard from our suppliers that very few people in our type of role offer this kind of service, and it's like, you know, day and night type vision into their business. Mm. And ultimately, if they've got good vision into their business, they're going to come out with better products because they can see, you know, what's happening better on the ground. And that tends to be one of the biggest issues is these entrepreneurs who have that idea, but they don't understand fully how people receive their products. And so that we try to filter that back as much as possible.
So it sounds like a combination of helping them understand the power of the data that's being put in and the transparency it gives in how things are performing, combined with some training and ongoing accountability and reminding, has sort of been the secret there for you.
It has been, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, that ongoing reminding, you know, does it get to the point where people feel like you're nagging at them, and how do you keep it fresh and sort of make that transition as easy as possible?
I think there's a certain aspect, you know, yeah, there's a certain group or population within your employee base that might consider it nagging, but I think people generally, you know, I come from the space that people want to do good. Mm. And they get up every day and say, hey, you know, I want to, you know, it's a new day, let's tackle it. And so I come from I guess it's a positive thought process or positive reinforcements. And it's not a nagging as in a coming down on people. It's more, you know, hey, where are you at on this? And it's just, it's as a matter of fact, a progress report. Cool. Much like your child would get from school, how are they doing? And giving that feedback, and people want them to do better, and so they strive to do better, generally speaking.
Yeah, I think that's a great distinction. Move on a little bit. So looking at, I mean, obviously you've got people across the country, so how do you go about recruitment, Matt? I mean, are you meeting all your people throughout that recruitment process? Are your people recruiting? Can you give us a bit of a snapshot of how you go about finding the right people to bring on the team with such a wide geography?
Yeah, this is something we definitely have put a lot of energy into and struggled with, frankly. Trying to find a good pool of candidates is a constant struggle. You know, we've tried the web-based job sites, and you get hundreds of people that aren't qualified, and specifically not for what we're looking for. So we, you know, we have identified what it is we are looking for. I think that's the number one thing, is who's our ideal candidate, who's our rock star is what we call them. And, you know, typically they are people that have spent time in retail, and in particular, if they've spent time in health food retail, that's kind of like a bonus. Someone who has a passion for the products themselves, and you know, if they have some sort of schooling specifically around science or natural health products, there's, you know, holistic nutritionist designations, etc. That really fits well into our model. So that's step number one, was to first identify, you know, who is our person that we're looking for, and then getting the word out is obviously part two. So we have abandoned, you know, a lot of the classic job websites. What we do is a lot of word of mouth. So we'll phone our retail partners and say, hey, this is something that's up and coming. And, you know, this industry is definitely a relationship-based industry, so the word spreads quite quickly, as well as we do have some industry magazines and websites. So we will post on there. So
our national association, Canadian Health Food Association, allows us to post jobs on their website. And what we do is we direct everyone to an email address, jobs@leboadvance.com. And that, when someone applies, they automatically get a response email that says, thank you for applying. That was basically phase one to, you know, to send in your application. Now, if you're really serious about the job, please follow these next instructions. And there's six questions we want them to answer. And they have to phone in, you know, it's very detailed. They have to phone in at a specific time to give us the answers verbally on a voicemail. And from that point, the hiring committee, which we've set up internally, usually of three people, sometimes more, we'll get to listen to that. And from there, we'll pick the candidates which we want to proceed to interview with. And interview based on geography might mean the regional manager is there in person and the other two people on the hiring committee are there by telephone only. Mm-hmm. And we'll go through a formal interview process where we have you know, a couple pages of questions. Each question is weighted and all three of us rate the answers to each question, and then we consolidate our results to see if A, have we found our candidate, or B, do we need to go into a round two because there's two or three particular candidates that might be standout and we want to learn more about them.
Yeah, right. It's very, very, you got a lot of structure there around your process.
Yeah, and it's really helped us actually. I'd say we've put new hires in place in four territories just in the last 12 months. And my suppliers have come back to me and said, wow, your caliber of hiring has definitely stepped up. They have been very impressed with the people we've hired. So that's been, I think it's been, you know, a large portion contributed to the process, as well as the fact that it's always a committee, which I am involved in. I want to be intimately involved in those kind of things. We're not such a big company that I can't be involved. And, you know, but having other people at the committee to balance my view all the time is good.
Now, I believe you used to meet all your candidates face-to-face. Am I understanding that correctly? And it sounds like you've managed to develop a process that allows you to not have to do that now. Is that, am I understanding that right?
Yeah, I mean, we have our annual trade shows and in Canada, one's in the east in the Toronto market and one's in the west in the Vancouver market, and they're about 6 months apart.
Mm-hmm.
So we still do get together, you know, as majority of the team around those events, because people are flying in for the trade show itself. So we'll come in a day earlier, 2 days early, and do some, you know, just some training, and whether it's on, you know, product knowledge or processes, you know, updated processes around Salesforce, et cetera. So that we still do that just because the opportunity arises and it's nice to be together in person.
Is that the whole team, Matt?
Is that the whole thing? Sorry.
So the whole team? Do you have the whole team there?
You generally, once a year, we do the whole team.
Right.
The secondary show in Vancouver, I don't bring everyone, but I still run a sales meeting much like I would if everyone was there, and there might be, you know, half a dozen people missing. So it's, and we're so, you know, we're about 24 people as a company now.
Right.
So, yeah.
What does your meeting structure look like? You talk about the annual get-together, and you've referred to the quarterly goals or quarterly plans that you run. Is there a weekly get-together? Is there a daily, monthly? What is it? What does that structure look like?
So, yeah, there's a weekly get-together of the management team by telephone where we all get on. And then for the outside reps as a whole, there is a biweekly regional call with their regional manager, and then one biweekly national call that I lead. So it gives people opportunities to get updated with what's going on within our suppliers, which is ultimately, you know, we're a sales department. We need to know what's going on within the inside of the manufacturing. So it's really primarily an update around, hey, you know, this item is upcoming, possibly out of stock. We have this new item launch. Here's where this promotion process is at. It's really the day-to-day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then regionally we talk about, you know, where the goals and objectives are. So I set up a quarterly goals and objectives or page for myself, and then I share that with my people, and then they create their sort of that. So just an update around that, and then they do those things on their separate regional calls as well. So yeah, that is definitely a regular touch point, but I don't limit it to that. I mean, I often will, you know, if I have an item I want to talk to with a certain rep, I just pick up the phone and go. And then I also personally try to visit every territory once a year.
Right.
So I spend a day on the road with the rep, or sometimes it's more than that. If I'm flying to Vancouver, I'll spend a couple of days in the territory, and, you know, because I'm there anyway. So yeah, it's definitely, and that's not too onerous on me. So.
And what about looking at your regional areas? You've got a regional manager in an area. What is their communication schedule look like with their team, and are they spending what sort of portion of time with the people in the field? Well, give us a bit of a snapshot on what that looks like.
Sure. So we might be unique in the sense that they're not just pure regional managers. They do have some direct sales responsibilities themselves with what I call key accounts, kind of tier two key accounts. So they're probably smaller chains that need a head office component. So my regional managers are also responsible for regional tier two head offices. And so they wouldn't be necessarily seeing stores on a day-to-day, but they would be responsible to be up to speed with what's going on within those chains. So they may have to make sporadic visits into the store level to make sure their programs are being instituted. And then as far as communication with their team goes, they have a biweekly call with themselves leading that call with their team. And then I would say that their touch points on an individual basis vary by person. But if I was to average it out, it's probably once every 2 to 3 days by telephone, one-on-one, just to check in, you know, how are things going? I mean, the benefit of having the CRM is that they can see what the input of sales calls have been on a day-to-day basis. So they can actually see what sales calls happened the previous 24 hours, 48 hours. It doesn't have to be all just, you know, by telephone. So there's, you know, electronic communication that actually keeps them up to speed with what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And does Salesforce itself have internal communication channels? Like, I believe there's a chat function in Salesforce.
Yeah, yeah. There is one, but my team has opted out on it, surprisingly.
Okay.
There is a program called WhatsApp, and yep. I think my sales reps have appreciated the fact that I'm not on it, so it allows them to ask stupid questions without feeling stupid
yeah.
to some degree. And so I respected that and definitely allowed them – they're not allowed them, but just given them the space to have their WhatsApp discussions, and I have certainly from the regional managers who are on it, they've shown me some of the strengths, and it's very robust and very supportive of each other. And when one person's asked a question, you know, you'll get two or three other people answering them. It's almost like a race to get them the answer. So there's a lot of camaraderie amongst the sales reps themselves, and we try to create a family atmosphere. We are a family business, and as you know, Jamie, I do have members of my family in the business, so I treat everyone like family, and I think that's one of the, you know, the great things about working here. If that's something you appreciate, there can be downsides to working in a family business, but we're trying to make it an upside.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's definitely something that is there, present, and ongoing that I don't necessarily get involved in.
You know, you mentioned a few things there, which leads me to ask about the culture of your business. And I know you've done a fair bit of work around the culture. And certainly from what I've seen, what you've told me, I would describe your culture as a very healthy one. And I'd be keen to know from you how important that has been in terms of bringing a remote team or strengthening your remote team. And maybe if you could describe it a little bit for us, that'd be great.
I guess our culture ultimately is defined by being a family atmosphere. So we certainly, we know people have families outside of this work. And so we do preach balance.
you know, and that's not always, you know, possible or you know, it's up to the individual to balance that, but we do check-ins on how things are doing and if people are stressed, how can we get support for them and those type of things. But it's a high, I really try to set a high performance culture so that it's not about how hard we're working. We're really trying to produce high performance results for our suppliers and, you know, really move the needle in regards to sales numbers and sales intelligence. The data can really bring you there as long as you know how to mine it and use it. And so that's been a lot of it is making sure people know how to find the data. And we're always evolving. In fact, we're looking at a system that would help us move, you know, if an average report takes 20 minutes to, you know, run it and then filter it and make it look pretty. And we have found a system that we're just in the midst of looking at that would give us, you know, that in 20 seconds. So it takes our database and can cut it and slice it and dice it into a usable format much quicker for our sales reps so that they're spending less time data mining and more time data presenting.
Can I ask what that is? It's not Clipfolio, is it?
No, I don't. You know what? It's not at my fingertips.
All right, maybe I'll grab that from you after and I'll include it in the notes below the interview. Yeah,
absolutely. I apologize. I don't have that sitting here. It's just something we're starting to look at. And in fact, one of my suppliers is the one that piqued me to it. They just bought it in the last 30 days and I was up there for a meeting and they were showing me what it was doing and I was completely blown away. So, but I guess ultimately what I'm trying to do is say is that we're constantly trying to evolve the culture and that is part of it is, you know, if there is a serious block, we try to find tools to help them fix those blocks and all of us fix those blocks. So we're very open for constructive criticism from the bottom up. I don't think anybody feels like they can't call me and say, hey, here's how I feel. There's a, you know, there's a problem here. But at the same time, people also know that we, you know, there's not a lot of room for, you know, somebody that isn't getting up. But you need the real can-do attitude. So, you know, one of the things I will say is, being in a remote sales team, you need self-sufficient, self-motivated people. You cannot have people that need a ton of hands-on FaceTime. They have to be somebody that is really a go-getter and can set priorities for themselves and go. Because we're not there. We're not there to babysit people, and they have to be career-oriented. That's definitely what we've learned.
So how do you test for that in your recruitment process? How do you know the person you bring on has those qualities?
That's a really good question. And I'd say that that is a constant refining piece of the hiring process.
Right.
What we've learned recently is that the report writing, as an example, needs somebody that has to have, you know, not entry-level Excel skills. They need to have some refined Excel skills so that they can get the reporting done in an efficient time manner so that they can be on the road. That's one of the things we've learned as far as self-sufficient. We just ask about past history, really. Give us some scenarios where you had to deal with difficult people and give us some scenarios where you had to make decisions without having all the information. That's a big one because that's always going to be the case. How did they, you know, deal with a situation that is, you know, it's really in their hands. They can't phone me to give them the answer and they need to make a decision there and then.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question that we get a lot of really interesting responses to.
Right.
It really does provide huge insight and people that I thought, hey, I think this person might be somebody we would hire. And then when they answer that question, suddenly, you know, that feeling of that interview turns a quick left. And so it's just about making sure that you have enough questions that give you the responses of how have they dealt with things in the past and how do they deal with, you know, overload, how do they deal with friction in the workplace. You know, all of those things are going to happen. So it's a matter of trying to find out what kind of person they are. And references, that's a big one. You need to phone their references. How do they know them? Asking some questions of the references themselves so you can qualify the relationship, not just saying, hey, is this a good guy?
And what sort of questions do you ask there?
Just, you know, what is the relationship that they had? How long did they deal with them? How long ago was it? You know, I had one candidate that, you know, the references were all 15 to 20 years old, and there was nothing from kind of modern times, which became a bit of a, you know, identifier that there could be a problem here. So,
Yeah, cool. You know, I just give you a little pat on the back, Matt. I think, you know, in terms of how you lead your team there, I think you've struck a really good balance between, you know, that openness and listening to your team and the assertiveness of driving the direction and sort of, you know, not making it a complete open forum for any idea to be adopted. You're very good at distilling down to the key things that are important and driving that through and making sure that change happens. So I just want to make that point because I think for those listening, sometimes when, you know, we struggle to make change and change is never easy. And we can always default back and say, you know, it's the people that are not adopting the change. But I think the leadership makes a massive difference into the effectiveness of that change and being consistent and sticking with that. So, you know, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I thank you, Jamie, for the compliment. And I would say change is constant. And I do, you know, tell people when they come in that there's always going to be something changing. Because it's just the way business operates.
Mm-hmm.
But just knowing them, knowing that their opinion means something to me and that I will respect their opinion. I'm not going to follow it all the time. I may not, you know, I may go a completely different direction. But that's been, I think, the number one contributor to acceptance of change is knowing that, you know, they can be heard and respected.
Well, cool, Matt. Look, we'll probably wrap it up. I want to respect your time. Thank you so much for all the sharing and being so open about how you're running your business. I know there's a lot of people listening that are going to get a ton of value out of this. And certainly I've got some distinctions as well that I'm going to be moving forward to. Looking forward to, I'll follow up with you to hear about that data tool that you've got for the reporting. But thanks a lot for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Speak soon.
Talk to you soon.
Well, I hope you got some tips and ideas and some insights there from that interview. And of course, if you've got some things to add or some things you think would be helpful for other listeners, feel free to post on the blog below. We'd love to hear your comments. On another note, if you've come across this interview direct from the website and would like to know about future interviews or would like to see the accompanying articles that we always publish with these interviews that correspond to the same theme, head to www.jamiecunningham.com and there you'll be able to sign up for Business Nutrition, which is the publication we put out roughly monthly and always hosts an interview like this, but we also accompany that with relevant articles that can help you in your business, in growing your businesses. And speaking of growth, if you'd like to know how well you're positioned for growth, we have a free diagnostic tool on our website that you can take. It takes about 7 minutes to complete and will help you understand where you're strong and where your areas of opportunity are in terms of growing your business. And if you'd like to do that, you'll receive a report that gives you the results. And to do that, just head to www.jamiecunningham.com/7 minutes. And that's a seven, like a number seven, not a written word seven. So that's www.jamiecunningham.com/7 minutes. And until next time, make it a great day and get out there and grow your business.